First Kings chapter 19. Why don't we stand? We'll read through the scriptures and then we'll let you be seated. Stand if you are able. Before we read 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 6, let me read a verse to you out of James. It says, Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know, the Bible characters, the Bible tells us the good, the bad, and the ugly about all of them. Okay, there's only a few really in the Bible that don't get much said about them negatively. Why? Because in the bottom line, they were men and women just as we are. Subject to the same things, fell prey to the same temptations. We're going to see that today in Elijah. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about what to do when you feel a little down. I was reading through the Bible a couple weeks ago, and I read this, and really, for our situation, as Mike Ray told us on Thursday night, we're kind of in a holding pattern right now, and we're kind of in a different place, a place we didn't, 2 weeks ago, we didn't expect to be in, and so it's easy when things change, particularly suddenly, to just, your feelings take over, and you can get a little down if you're not careful. So I just want to look at Elijah this morning. Now, as we are coming into 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah just got out of, just had a great meeting. Now you talk about revival meeting, he had the 450 false prophets of Baal, and they had a little contest. Who could call down fire from heaven? And so guess who won? Not the Baal worshipers. And so not only did they lose the contest, they lost their lives. And the people were all like, hey, yeah, let's worship the Lord God. The Lord God only will we serve. Great meeting. Everything's going well. God's on this. God's getting the momentum here. And then we read 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. So Ahab, the king, gave his wife a little clue in on this. Now, we know who ran this show here. It was Jezebel. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more so, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Basically, what she's saying is, if by tomorrow, 24 hours, your life is going to be like the guys you just had killed. Now, by the way, he should not have had any fear of that. You know, personally, I'm guessing if I were like, hey, Lord, can you send down fire and not only burn this, we'll soak it with water just to make it a little hard. And it happened. And now Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you by tomorrow. Well, how does the man of great faith react? And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. So he scrambles off, leaves his servant. He goes a day farther and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. So he lays under a tree and says, kill me. And as he lay and he slept under a juniper tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. So an angel comes now. He's having a little pity party here, praying that he would die. Angel comes, taps him, says, hey, here, get some food. So I guess that was like, you know, they didn't call for pizza. The angels brought the food to him. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay him down again. So he ate, went back to bed. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. So wakes him up again, feeds him again. And he arose and did eat and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave. So now he takes off. Now he's going to hang out in a cave and lodge there. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? That's God's way of saying, what's going on? What are you doing? What's happening here? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and throw down thy altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. They seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. So God hears his excuse and says, okay, go stand over there. You're going to see something here. Go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by with a great and strong wind, rend the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, a great earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. You see, Elijah had seen God do these big, great things. And so God's now coming to encourage him. And God, you know, there's this earthquake. There's this wind and the rocks rend. But God had nothing to do with that. He's trying to get Jonah, he's trying to get Elijah's attention. Like, hey, it's not always the big things. And then what happens? And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So he didn't need all that stuff. Now it's good. I'm with him on that. I'm with him on the fire from heaven. I'm with him on, you know, when the 50 guys come to take him, and he says, if I'm a prophet, let fire come down from heaven and take you guys out, and that happened. I'm all for that. That's the good stuff. But God's not always in that. It was that still, small voice. That's what he needed. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him that said, what doest thou here, Elijah? He asked him again, what are you doing here? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Behold, the children of Israel forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life and take it away. Same concept. And he said unto him, go, return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest there, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou appoint to be king over Israel, and Elijah the son of Shaphath of Abimelech, holy, that guy, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. He says, hey, pity party's over. It's all good. Now get out here and let's get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for this story, Lord. It's a story really of encouragement if we'll look at it. And I pray, Lord, in these few minutes that we have, that you would speak to our hearts. Give us strength where we need it. Give us encouragement. Lord, maybe show us some areas where maybe we are allowing in our lives to cause us to be down a little bit. Help us to see the cures in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we see here that after a great victory, Elijah heads off into the wilderness and prays and asks God to kill him. Now, personally, I don't think he really wanted to die, because if he wanted to die, Jezebel would have did it for him. Okay? He didn't need to run. Jezebel would have taken care of it. But that was his feelings. He had these great victories, and now all of a sudden, maybe he had a disappointment. I'm not sure what it is. We'll look at some things. But now he's hiding out, and he's praying to be killed. Nothing good is happening. He's down. He's discouraged. Now, if everybody in this room was honest, we all get there sometimes. Now, I'll be honest, maybe not to the extent that he got there. Maybe we're not praying for God to take us out. But if we're honest, all of us struggle sometimes. And all of us get down a little bit. Well, there are reasons for that. Okay, so what we're going to look at, just in the brief few minutes we have here, I want to look at some of the causes of his discouragement. And then I want to give you a few cures here out of the story to get us out of that. First of all, I want to look at some of the causes. First of all, we see there was a fluctuation. What I mean by that is his emotions were going up and down. I mean, if you go back to chapter 17, all of a sudden he arises on the scene out of nowhere and he says, I'm going to pray and it's not going to rain for 3.5 years because of Ahab's wickedness and all that was going on. And so he prays, and for 3.5 years, it doesn't rain. 3.5 years later, he goes, he shows himself to Ahab, he rebukes Ahab, he prays, the rain comes. Then he has the contest with the prophets of Baal, he takes them all out, he's on a high, things are going good. And then Jezebel steps in. She's not happy about it. She's coming after him. And now he suffers an emotional low. You see, sometimes we get down because we're too up and down. By the way, realize this. Sometimes the low comes usually right after the high. Because we get up there and we're so used to it. Hey, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be perfect. Can I just tell you something? Life is not like that. You cannot let your highs get too high, and you can't get your lows get too lows. Nothing is ever as good as you think it is, and nothing is ever as bad as you think it is. Got to stay on the straight line. Okay? Keep your emotions in check. Some people I know, they're more prone to the ups and downs of life. What do they call it after a lady has a baby? Postpartum syndrome? What? Yeah, depression. Depression ought to come after she gets married, not after she has kids. I mean, you know, man, that's where the real depression sets in. So I thought he was Prince Charming. No. No, he's not. But you have this baby, and what a wonderful thing. And then you go home, and all of a sudden, you're suffering with depression. Can I tell you why? Having the baby was the high. The low is your schedule change. If you all, I remember our first kid, we brought her home, Jessica. Oh, we couldn't wait. And then 2 o'clock in the morning, it's like, seriously? Is this what it's going to be like? And so I, suffering for the Lord, would sleep on the couch. Just kidding. But you think of it, ladies, you get out of schedule. Everything's different. And then you say, well, I got this thing down, so I'll have another one. It's worse. Especially the closer they are together. So you get these high highs and these down downs. And you have this fluctuation of emotion, and it's easy to get down. It's easy to get down. We got to keep our emotions on track. What else caused him? First, he was fleeing. He had this fluctuation of emotions. Now he's running. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He gets up and he takes off. He starts to run away. Let me say this. Too many people try to run from situations. Too many people try to run from their problems. You got to face them head on. Head on. You see, the problems aren't going anywhere. And maybe we don't physically run from a problem, but we mentally check out of the problem. We just don't want to deal with it. Okay? Some people, they just don't like drama. I don't like drama. I don't. Now, my wife, she thrives on drama. In fact, I think she would create drama. That's when she's in her element. It's like, hey, everything's good. Well, let's do this. I'm like, me, I don't want drama. I don't want to deal with it. Just, you know, frustration. Okay? But you can't run from things. Because if you run from them, the problem, number one, is still there. And number two, it's not been dealt with. But see, that's our nature. We have a tendency to want to flee in that face. David felt like that. Let me read some verses out of Psalm. Psalm chapter 55, verse 5 and 8. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, then would I fly away and be at rest. David's like, I don't deal with it. I wish I could just fly away and get out of this situation and take off. Life doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. And when you run away, it's still there, and you're still dealing with it, and you're going to get down. What other problems did he have? Well, he also had fear. And when he saw that, he rose and went for his life. By the way, fear is just, we all deal with it. Now, we all have this macho mentality that's just, it's American. It's everywhere, but it's the American way of life. You push us, we push back harder, longer, better. That's how it is. How many times does the Bible, several hundred times the Bible in one way or another says, fear not. Fear thou not. Don't fear. Why? It's a human emotion. It's something we have to constantly deal with. And we get fearful. When we get fearful, it paralyzes us. We don't think right. By the way, we make bad decisions. All these things we're talking about right here, let me throw this in. If you have any of these, that's the worst time in the world to make a decision. When your emotions are all over the place, you don't make a decision. Because you're not in any position to make a decision, and you're going to make a decision based on faulty facts, and you're going to dig the hole deeper instead of filling it in and fixing it. Fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. When we have faith, we will act correctly in spite of what we think or how we feel. But when we have fear, the opposite's true. People are fearful. People fear the future. What's going to happen? I don't know. As Brother Esposito said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. So that's just a quaint saying. No, it's real. It's real. We got to put our faith in that, which comes from God's word. We fear the future. We fear illness. You know, the older you get, every little twinge is like, man, what is that? You know, when you're younger, nothing bothers you. You know, you hear about somebody that, you know, they had a pancreas cancer. And all of a sudden, my pancreas hurts. And by the way, I don't even know where it is. I know where my appendix used to be because there was a lot of pain there. I don't know where pancreas is. I don't even know what it does. I just know I want to keep it. You know, we fear all these things. By the way, people fear death. Now, I'm not saying let's go on the next load, but death is nothing to fear. If you read the book of Job, it says that Satan keeps people captive by their fear of death all their days. If you've ever been to San Jose, they have a house called the Winchester Mansion. How many of you heard of that? My wife and I went up there for some, we took one of the kids up to something, and so we had a day together. We went to the Winchester house. It's a weird house that they added onto it for years and years and years, and it has a stairway that you go like this way, and you only go up like half a foot. They have doors that open to walls. They have things that just don't make sense because somebody told this rich lady that as long as she continued to build on her house, she would not die. And so they were building things they didn't need for 30-something years, and then something happened. She died. So they didn't need to build anymore. But why? Fear of death. We fear it. We fear security. What if I lose my job? What about this? What about that? I mean, there's layoffs at work. There's this, there's that. We fear change. We want everything to stay the way it's always been. And that would be great, but life doesn't work that way. So we have fear. What else causes us to get down? Failure. He says, for I am not better than my fathers. You know what he's saying? I failed. I didn't get the job done. Now, I don't understand that except to say maybe he thought after Ahab saw the fire from heaven that Ahab would go back and say, the God, he is Lord, let's serve him. Instead, he goes back and that Jezebel he had living in his house, was her name, that's who she was, said, I'll take care of it. We're going to kill him. And Elijah's like, I thought they'd come around. I thought we would experience nationwide revival. It didn't happen, so he ran. Failure. People feel like a failure. By the way, you're going to fail. Okay? Failure doesn't make you a failure. It just means you failed at that particular time. Really, people are only a failure if they quit completely. Amen. You know, Thomas Edison, he had a whole in place in New Jersey where they would just invention after invention after invention. Can I just tell you something? Most of the time, they failed. But they would come across something. Before he got into inventions, you know, he lost all of his money. He invested his fortune in concrete furniture. He thought that would be the rage of the future. Can I tell you something? No one wants to sit on concrete. He lost all his money. It sounds like something you guys would do. A fail. Okay? And we let that negativity get in there like, oh, and we don't try anymore. We get down because things didn't go the way we thought they should go. And then here's one, fatigue. What did he do? Okay, he goes out, has a pity party, and he crashes. He's done. The angel has to come wake him up and say, dinner, get up, eat, go back to bed, wake up, eat. By the way, that sounds like a good plan. I want to be a psychologist. Say, what can I do for you? Oh, look. All right, here's what you do. Go home, go to bed, get up, eat, go back to bed, get up, and eat some more. Okay? Psychologists get a lot of money. He was tired. He was hungry. Look, if I come home and I'm tired and I'm hungry, I'm just going to confess Charlie's sin, my sin. I'm a grouchy. I don't need a hug. I don't need an explanation. I don't need anything. I need dinner. And you know what the best thing that goes with dinner is? About a 30 to 40 minute nap. So I'll tell you what, you girls clean the house, knock out dinner. I'm going to go in my room. I'm going to pray vertically. And when I'm done praying, the alarm will go off and everything will be good. You say, that doesn't sound very spiritual. I know, but it's good. Doesn't have to sound spiritual. It's true. By the way, you know, sometimes, I shouldn't say this. Okay, one of our missionaries, and I'm not going to mention who it is, but his last name rhymes with Kong. Brother Vong said he went to a church, and his kids had been in church like 7 days in a row every night. So they weren't even scheduled, I think, to go to this church, it was a drop-by. It was a drop-by. You know, he didn't have a scheduled meeting. It was Wednesday night. Even though they'd been in church for a week and a half, he thought, well, we'll just go to church anyhow. His kids were dead tired. And he said the kids went into the junior, the class for the children. He goes, and they did not act well. And so he kept trying to call the pastor back and saying, hey, can I get a meeting? And the pastor was ignoring him. He wouldn't get back. He finally talked to the pastor about it. He goes, Brother Vong said, I heard my kids did not behave in the service. He goes, now I'm not making excuses for them. I know I need to rule my kids, and they're usually always good. He said, but we were in church for a week and a half, and we had just driven 15 hours when we pulled up into your church service. And the pastor was honest and said, you know, that was part of the reason we didn't call you back, but I appreciate you being honest. I'll bring you back. Can I just tell you something? Brother Vong's kids weren't bad. They were tired. They're tired. When we come back from vacation, and we're not doing this anymore. This is the last year. Maybe I'm too old and cranky, but we drive 20 straight hours, and about 15 hours in, I don't like myself. I don't like the Bible. I don't like my family. I don't like anybody. We leave at 9 at night. I drive from 9 at night till about 8 in the morning while everybody else sleeps. I can't sleep in the car. We're usually in the middle of California where it's hot in the car. And it's like, I don't want anything to do with it. So we're going to stop this time. I'm tired of being a bad Christian. Well, we're tired. And you get tired. And that happens. There's nothing unspiritual about that. Forgetfulness is another one of it. By the way, think about it. Peter denied Christ. Now, we knew it was going to happen, but you know what? He had been up all night. It's probably a little easier. Forgetfulness. He forgot what God had done. See, when you're down, you don't remember the good things. And they're all over the place. The children of Israel, as they're going through the wilderness, they're whining about everything, and all of a sudden, Egypt was good. No, it wasn't. It was not good. But you know what? They forgot all about it because of the problems at hand, and their emotions were out of control. And we forget. Do you know God did not die, and he never will die? We need to remember that. We need to, and you say it. You don't, you know, it's like you're feeling down. It's like God's alive. God's, and you don't feel it, but say it anyhow and live by it because it's still true. And then he felt forsaken. I'm the only one. Nobody else is serving you, God. They've forsaken you. They've knocked down your altars. They have defiled everything. I'm the only one. God's like, no, you're not. There were others. We get that mentality. No one loves God anymore. Just, oh, I'm going to serve Jesus till I get to heaven. We're just going to trudge on. You know, Christian life isn't trudging on. It's forsaken. Now, we've given you a lot of the problems. In the last few minutes here, let me give you some cures. And some of them I've already alluded to. The first cure is prayer. There's a prayer request. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This is not the best way to pray. Pray, but don't follow his model. Now, the Lord's Prayer, we follow the model there. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a good model to follow. This one isn't. What did he say? He requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord, O Lord, take away my life. By the way, you know God might take you up on that offer. What did the children of Israel say? Would to God we die in the wilderness. God said, done. Not a problem. We'll take 40 years. We'll get rid of all you and your kids can go have a good time. But watch, but I will say this. Theirs was more of a complaint. His was more out of discouragement. And the part of the prayer you need to see is this. He was honest about it. Honest. It's okay to be honest with God. If you're feeling it, he knows it. I remember in the early days when we were on full time here, we were doing apartment management, and they came to us and they said, you have 6 kids now, you got to get out of here. Well, that was real nice of them. So we were looking for a place to live, and we found this house over on the east side, and it was in foreclosure. It looks like we're going to be able to get it. By the way, we couldn't even find a place to rent or manage. It was like, you know, 6 kids. They were just giving us a hard time. It was kind of a last-minute thing. So we found this house, and it's like, man, Lord gave us a house. This is great. And then they called us like Thursday and said, no, can't have it. And so I was in my office, and I had a bad attitude. And so I prayed. I walked around. I said, now, Lord, that does not seem very good. I said, that was a bad decision, Lord. And I tried to talk. I was complaining, and I was trying to talk him into it. Don't you realize what a waste of money it is for us to do that? And we're not going to find a place anyhow. We've been living in that cramped apartment, and you gave. Why would you even do this in the first place? Now, after 5 minutes of that, I'm kind of like, you know, calm down a little bit. Like, you know, Lord, your will, your way. But that's what I was feeling. Now, I was okay. I said, Lord, forgive me for having a bad spirit, but. And God took me to get to the place where I'm like, you know, whatever you want, I'm good with it. You don't give us a house, we're done. And the next day they called and said, you know what, you can have it. But you know what, if you're feeling something, God knows that. Don't hide it from him. Yeah. Say, Lord, I'm down. And Lord, I don't understand this. And if it was my decision, if I was in charge, I wouldn't do it that way. Oh, it's okay. As long as you come to the conclusion that he obviously didn't, but Lord, you know what's best. You see everything in time and space. Yep. You know what's going on, and so I'm going to trust you. You're not complaining. By the way, I like Brother Stevenson on the job site. Brothers, not complaining, I'm explaining. Okay? If he said that at one time, he said every time, how you doing, Bob? I'm not complaining. I'm explaining. I think we ought to have coffee out here all the time. Like, I'm in on that one. Let's do it. So pray. That's where it all has to start. When something is going down, go to God. And Mark, I think Brother Pineda references, is a man whose son was possessed, and he wanted his son to be helped. And Jesus tells him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus says, do you believe? If you believe, all things are possible. I like the guy's answer. He's crying and he says, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. He goes, I believe, Lord, but always deep down inside is that little nagging unbelief. And can I tell you something? That's okay. Because it's not really faith unless there's doubt there. If there is no doubt at all, right, what color is your shirt? This right here. Is this gray? Okay, good. So, I don't have to have faith to say that's gray because I see it clear as day. Now, I'm colorblind, so it's gray, whatever. It doesn't take any faith. Now, if I don't see something, it takes faith to believe it. You say, well, there's that nagging doubt. Believe in spite of the doubt. That's faith. By the way, the same thing's true with fear. All of us are going to have some level of fear as long as that fear doesn't control us and we don't act upon it. We just leave it there and do what we're supposed to do. So we need to pray. Next, we need physical rest. We already mentioned that. Really, some people, they'll call, I have this major problem. We need to deal with it right tonight. And they'll call it night. I got to deal with it right now. It has to be dealt with right now. We're in the middle of this fight, blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know what? I understand that. Can we schedule to talk tomorrow? Would that be fine? All right, I'll get through the night. They have a good night's rest. Everybody apologizes in the morning. There's no issue. Sometimes in the moment, you need to back away. Yep. Sometimes you're tired, as we mentioned. Get, by the way, we live by, have some type of schedule. Pastor always calls it living like a drug addict. You know, one night I go to bed at 11, the next night I go to bed at 1, the next night I go to bed at 9. Man, you are all over the map. Try to have a little, now you can't always live like that, I understand that, but as much stability as you can have it. But you need rest. We talked about that already. I will not spend much time. Also, we see he had a retreat. He patiently retreated. After he gets strengthened a little bit, he rests and he gets some food, he gets away for a while and he goes to the cave, and that's where God meets with him there. You know, sometimes in the busyness of life, you just need to get away a little bit. You need to have a little time where nothing's pressing on you. Now, in our house, it's very hard. I have all these children, and now I have in-laws, and I have granddaughters, which that's fine. They can come anytime they want. But, you know, it's always daycare. It's always something going on in our house. It's very rare I'll come home from somewhere and no one's there. Can I just tell you something? That's good. I lock the door and like, hey, take advantage of this peace and quiet. Then I get on my phone, find my friends. I see where all the kids are. It's like, hey, I'm going to get about 30 minutes today. That doesn't happen very often. Now, I love my family, just, you know, whatever. But, you know, sometimes you just need to get away from the pressure of things. You need that little retreat just to sit down there and hear the voice of God. Hard to hear the voice of God when the phone's calling and people are knocking on your door and everybody's texting you. You know, sometimes take the phone and just, by the way, let me explain how. I don't always answer phone calls and text. You with me? John, no offense. Sometimes in the middle of something, leave me a message though. And don't block your number, I'll never answer it. Okay, but something's important, we'll answer it. But you know, sometimes I'm doing something. And same thing should be true of you. You need that few minutes away. We're so connected to everything now. So connected to everything. And sometimes that's not good. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now I've heard someone say the word wait is like a waiter. Can I just tell you something? Like in it's the word waiter, just like the word, like the people waited on the Lord in Deuteronomy. Well, I checked the words out. No, it isn't. They're completely different. Okay, it's not. Don't always hear research. You need to wait upon the Lord sometimes. And he renews our strength so we can go do what we're supposed to do. Isn't that what happened to Elijah? He slept, he ate, he got dealt with. Get back out there, do what you're supposed to do. And then we see there was a powerful reply. Where was the Lord? He was in the still small voice. It says the word of the Lord came to him. The ultimate comfort, the ultimate emotion leveler is the word of God. If you're not in the word of God, you're not going to get it. You're going to be all over the map. We've got to follow the scriptures. We can't follow the scriptures if we don't know the scriptures, and we don't know the scriptures if we're not in the scriptures. The word of God's got to be everything. Well, I have my opinion. That's wonderful. What does the Bible say? That's where now, by the way, we get comfort from others. During difficult times, we give comfort, encouragement, love, and all that. That's important. But our ultimate comfort's got to come from that book. And that's what came to Elijah. You see, here's what happens. I'm sorry, I went a few minutes longer than I planned on. I'll be done in a minute. What happens is we start going through emotional upheaval in our life, and the first thing we do is we stop reading our Bible, we stop coming to church. The two very things you need. And you're cutting yourself off from that source of encouragement that'll get you through what you are going through. Satan's not dumb. And then the last thing is this. That God's plan for his life is resumed. He doesn't say, what are you doing? What are you doing? Then the voice comes to him. He says, all right, here's what I want you to do now. We've got over the pity party. Forget the whole Jezebel concept. Things are good. I need you to go and anoint two kings, and I want you to go get Elijah. He's taking your place. Now get out of here and let's go. He's ready to go now. You stop doing what you're supposed to do, that's another way you get down. Get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. You say, but I'm not, sometimes we go through dead spots in our Christian life. What should I do? I'll tell you what you should do. Be at soul winning when you're supposed to be at soul winning. Be at church when you're supposed to be at church. Read your Bible when you're supposed to read your Bible. Go to work when you're supposed to go to work. Do all the things you're supposed to do until you get back on track. Because if you stop doing those things, the hole gets bigger. You're digging the hole, and the depression gets worse, and you feel worse, but when you stay on keel, you'll get through it. And those highs won't be so high, and those lows won't be so low, and you'll rough it out. God doesn't want you to live on that plane. How do you know? That's why I asked Elijah, what are you doing? What are you doing here? This is not what I have for you, Elijah. What in the world are you doing here? So I think if we'll follow some of these things, we can get through those times when we struggle. Let's all pray together. Let's all stand together.